Good evening. Sometimes it feels like I'm still going through puberty. Anyways, welcome to our Wednesday night Advent service. It is wonderful that we can all be gathered together this evening. It's wonderful that we have the chance this midweek time to hear the Word of God proclaimed to us and receive His benefits from that. Let us open our worship service today in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we are gathered today to hear your word proclaimed. We ask in your infinite mercy that you would be with us, that you would guide and lead us, that you would be with all those who are involved in the service today, including Nola as she plays, and Tracy as he comes up and proclaims your word. Bless us this day in your name. Amen. Let us begin by singing Come Thou Long Expected Jesus, hymn number 5. At this time now, let us bow before the Lord in confession of our sin, knowing of His grace and His mercy that He has toward us. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess to you that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed. Therefore, we flee for refuge to your infinite mercy and ask you for Christ's sake, grant us forgiveness of all our sins, and by your Holy Spirit, increase in us true knowledge of you and of your will and true obedience to your word, to the end that by your grace we may come to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Thank you.
From Isaiah chapter 1, "Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. It is because of promises like this from the Word of God and from the mouth of God Himself that I declare to you today that your sins are forgiven." Amen. This time I will invite you to stand as you are able, as now we have the opportunity to hear the Word of the Lord. Our first lesson today comes from Isaiah chapter 9, verses 2 to 7. "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. You have multiplied the nation, you have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as they are glad when they divide the spoil. For the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. For every boot of the trampling warrior in battle tumult and every garment rolled in blood will be burned as fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end, on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this." Our gospel lesson for today, same as it was last week and same as it will be next week, comes from Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 through chapter 2, verse 12. "Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins.' All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet, 'Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel,' which means God with us. When Joseph woke from his sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord had commanded him, and he took his wife, but knew her not until after she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him.' When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, 'In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are by no means least among the rulers of Israel. For from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, 'Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him.' After listening to the king, they went on their way, and behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way." Here ends the reading of God's word. You may be seated. At this time, I will invite our ushers forward to receive our morning offering. At this time, we will sing hymn number 6, Repent, the Kingdom Draweth Nigh, after which Tracy will come up and deliver to us our message. If you would remain standing for this hymn, that would be awesome.
I'll reread the scripture again, Isaiah 9, verses 2 through 7. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. You have multiplied the nation, you have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as they are glad when they divide the spoil. For the yoke of his burden and the staff for his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. For every boot of the tramping warrior in battle tumult, and every garment rolled in blood will be burned as fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish it, and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time to worship you, that your words are truth, and that you would be in this message tonight, Lord. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So before I started this, the pastor said, it has to be a minimum of 30 minutes, so I'm sorry that you're going to have to go through that 30 minutes. But anyway, I'll try to maybe not go quite 30, probably not even close to 30. The other thing is you're witnessing something, a miracle, I would say, right? Because God is doing something with me here. He's proven a point that he can take anybody and put them up here. You know, as long as God is in it, anything is possible. So verse 2, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. So while Isaiah is announcing good news here, he's also acknowledging the reality of the darkness. And this darkness isn't a physical darkness. It's way worse than that. It's a spiritual, emotional, or mental darkness. This darkness is real and powerful. And it's something that won't go away by ignoring it. And Satan is the evil one behind it. Satan's greatest weapon of keeping us in the dark is sin. You know, when he entices us to commit a sin, and we're the ones who do the despicable behavior, especially when we try to rationalize our sins and minimize them or enjoy and repeat them, it's so easy to, you know, because we're in the flesh and, you know, sin is something that we're born into, but we're enticed, but yet it's still our choice. You know, God always gives us a way out of that sin. And I've realized that, you know, you can't be in both the spirit and the flesh at the same time. So if we're always in the spirit, there's no law there and you will not sin. But we have the flesh side of us, which controls a lot of our thinking. James 1, verse 13 and 15, it says, "Let no one say when he is tempted, 'I am being tempted by God.' For God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire." Again, we're enticed by Satan, but it's still our own desire to commit that sin. And then rationalize it, right? So somebody else's sin is worse than the one that you did or that I did. As I don't know who came up with this, but like if you're pointing your finger, you have three pointing back at you. But we're real good at pointing the finger to clear ourselves. Then desire, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. We are dead in our sin. What a dark world we live in. But, you know, when you ever have the word but, in this case, good is about to happen. Greatness is about to happen, because John 1 says in verse 5, "The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." So Jesus is this light of the world, and he has come to give us hope, life, and peace. John 8 verse 12, again, Jesus spoke to them saying, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Verse 6 and 7, it says, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end, on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this." In verse 6, it's talking about four things that they call Jesus. Wonderful Counselor. He alone can give us guidance and help through his wisdom and miracles. The Mighty God. The child born to rule and govern God's kingdom. The Prince of Peace. The one who removes all peace-disturbing factors and secures the peace. Everlasting Father. Life is everlasting and can never die out. He is the author and finisher of our faith. Now this Advent season, let's anticipate the second coming of Jesus, because it's going to be a big deal. You thought Cubs winning the World Series in 108 years was big. Well, some of you thought. I didn't think it was that big a deal. It's going to be way bigger than that. And you know, many people miss the birth of the Christ child, but they're not going to miss the second coming. Because every eye will see his return. Every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. Every believer and every unbeliever is going to see it. But it's too late for the unbeliever at that time. So we need to be ready. In Mark 13, verse 24 and 27, this is how great it's going to be. "But in those days, after that tribulation, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken, and then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with a great power and glory. And then he will send out the angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven. I've always wondered, I thought I'd want to be here for the second coming. And then I thought, it really doesn't matter. Either I'm going to be sleeping or I'm going to be here. And so we look at 1 Thessalonians, and I've been hanging on to this verse, chapter 4, verse 13 through 18, as our family went through the loss of a baby granddaughter. But this gives me so much hope in that. So I'm going to share that with you as well. But we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. For this we declare to you by a word from the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven, cry of command with the voice of the archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. So if we're sleeping, you're going to rise first. And if I'm standing here watching, I'm going to have to wait. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. Please pray with me. Oh, Heavenly Father, thank you for the Christmas story and the birth. As we celebrate that, God, I just can't wait for the coming, your return. Oh, the power and glory that's going to be here. Thank you for your promises. Thank you for coming as a baby and dying on the cross and then rising again and then returning to us to gather your children home. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
At this time, would you now stand as we pray the prayer that our Lord has taught us? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Receive the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Would you sing as our closing hymn today? Number 12, Hark the Glad Sound.
Our Lord.
Go in peace and serve the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen.